Occasionally, I like to listen to audiobooks. I've listened to some really great ones over the last few years, and I got a recommendation from a priest friend of one I've been listening to lately, and I'm almost finished with it. I've just got 1 hour left to listen of this 9.5 hour book, and it's called A Little History of the World. It's by E.H. Gombrich. I think he lived in Great Britain or Germany or somewhere in the 20th century. And it's a really approachable history. He writes it actually so that his grandchildren could understand it, that it could be read to them. And it starts all the way with prehistory before there were any humans. And he gives lots of speculation and pulls from different sources of what that might have been like. And then he goes through different civilizations and ages and cultures, religions and leaders, all the way to the modern era. I just finished yesterday the section on the American Civil War, so I'm almost to the completion. And it's been such a fascinating read to listen to the history of the world and the history of mankind, to look backwards and to see everything that's happened century after century, millennia after millennia. I mean, I know a lot of the names, I know a lot of the stories, but to hear him weave it into this great balanced story has just been a delightful way to look backwards. And I think this is actually a really helpful thing for all of us, to look back, to look at the history of mankind, to look at the history of the church, to look at our own histories, and to see both the dark moments and then the moments of light, the good and the bad and the ugly. We know that human history and church history and our own personal histories each have those moments. They have good moments and they have dark moments. And to hold both of these in remembrance is a really helpful and a healthy thing. And I see this reflected on our readings today here on this fourth Sunday of Lent, a remembrance, a looking backwards. Starting with the psalm, we have this psalm that wasn't written by David. A lot of the psalms were written by David, the king. We know that this one wasn't, because it talks about the Babylonian exile, which happened well after David's time. And so this psalm, written by some author, either during or after the exile in Babylon, looks backward. And the psalmist writes, "By the streams of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. As they remembered the good and the bad, they wept." And then he goes forward, "If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand be forgotten. May my tongue cleave to my palate if I remember you not." Look at how important memory is, remembering the good and the bad. We hear part of the story probably that they were remembering accounted in our first reading from the second book of Chronicles. Second Chronicles is a history book. It's what the Jews would have read to recount their history. And we see some of the good and some of the bad in the history book. I'm sure as the people were in exile in Babylon, they were remembering the good days of prosperity and peace, but they were also remembering the days of devastation, the days when the leaders, the priests, the people, they added infidelity to infidelity. They practiced all the abominations of the nations. They polluted the Lord's temple. That's not a happy memory. And then the second book of Chronicles recounts that because of their infidelity, then their enemies came and they burned the house of God. They tore down the walls of Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple. And then the people were carried off to Babylon. They were exiled from their own homeland. Not a happy memory. But then later here, we hear about this King Cyrus of Persia. And actually, the book that I'm listening to, A Little History of the World, it talks about Cyrus and how the Persians conquered during those days and how they liberated and freed the Jewish people and let them go back to Jerusalem. And that's the story here that we hear at the end of our reading today, that this goodly king who was conquering the known world, he actually let the people go home. And so the Jews were liberated, and then they went back to Jerusalem. That's a good memory. But we get the good with the bad. And that's important to remember. It made me remember, actually, one of my favorite movies of the last 10 years or so. It's called Inside Out. Maybe the kids remember it. It's a Disney Pixar animated film. I actually was able to write a little reflection about the readings this weekend and the Catholic spirit that you probably just got at your homes. So you could find a little reflection of Inside Out and some of the readings that I wrote in the Catholic spirit. It's not on the front page like Father Talbot's Fish House of Mercy was. You have to go a little bit further into Catholic spirit. But this movie, I think, does a great job of talking about memory and personality and temperament. And you get an inside look into the main character, Riley's brain, and her memories and her growing up as an adolescent. And at the beginning of the story, there's this temptation to only have joyful memories, to focus on the good, to only focus on the happy things of life. But then by the end, you come to realize, actually, it's memories that are mixed with the sorrow and the joy that are really profound and impactful for a person's rearing and growth. Again, it's the good with the bad. It's the sorrow with the joy. And the Jews remembered this in their recounting of their history, and so do we as Christians. We recall the moments of sorrow, but also the moments of joy and redemption. This is what we get in our readings from the New Testament in today's Mass, from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians and then the Gospel of John, a very, very similar message, a message of love, a message of salvation. St. Paul writes, it was because of the great love that God had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, that we were brought to life in Christ. It's God's love that we hold on to and remember, even when we were in darkness, even when we were dead in our transgressions. God raised us up with him. And St. John recounts a very, very similar thing, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who would believe in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Those are the memories we hold as a collective body, the memories of our salvation, the memories of God's love. But how did that joy come about? It came through the cross. It came through sorrow. It came through devastation. It came through death. The cross is a symbol of death. But for us Christians who are saved, it has become a symbol of life. It's a symbol of darkness, but it's also a symbol of light. Just as we hear this exchange between Jesus and Nicodemus, Moses lifted up this serpent, this bronze serpent in the desert. This comes from the book of Numbers when serpents were biting and killing the people in the desert. But then this symbol of death, a serpent, was held up. And it was that symbol of death and darkness that actually saved the people. And it brought about their healing and redemption. And that's what the cross is to us. It's why we have it in every Catholic church, that the cross is a symbol not only of darkness and sorrow, but of light and joy. And there's this word that we throw around in Catholic theology. It's a very long or difficult word to understand. It'd be good in Scrabble. It's called anamnesis. And anamnesis is a very fancy word that means memorial sacrifice. And that memorial sacrifice happens right here on the altar in every celebration of the Mass. And you know what it means? It means that the cross of 2,000 years ago actually becomes present here. That the sacrifice of Calvary and that moment of darkness in our Lord's life and in the life of the church actually becomes real for us. But at the same time, Christ's saving sacrifice transforms us. It's not just a memorial or a sacrifice or something that we remember and aren't touched by. It's one that actually becomes real and present here in our own age. It's not just a history that's dead like a history book, but one that comes alive as we remember it and as we practice it here in our Mass. And so, brothers and sisters, let's enact these memories as we remember in these next 3 weeks the passion of our Lord, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. Let those mysteries come alive in our hearts, that we would not dwell only on the darkness and on the bad and the sorrow, but that we would be transformed and renewed by the light of God's truth.